Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this was the first verse of our epistle reading today. The grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Adler had a really good idea for me, really good advice to give to me. Have the Bible ready. Have the Bible in front of you if you need help in knowing what to speak. So the epistle reading today makes it sound like them Corinthians, they had it down. They were just like awesome, upright. Everything was going great for them. Man, how I wish I was a Corinthian. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't you wish you were that church in Corinthians? Everything, you got it down, everything's wonderful. You must be some cool, really upright people. So Paul could wrote a letter to the church Concordia Lutheran in Bourbon, Missouri, and just ended it right there at verse 9. And everything would be good, and we'd be going out going, man, we are so good. We are so upright. Well, you know what? The Corinthians did not have it all together. They could be a little haughty, which we would be, and proud if we walked out saying the same thing. Ooh, I went to church today. I receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. I am so good. You could go out. I'm forgiven by God. Thanks be to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But going out and saying, I am so good. You know what I did today? I went to church. No. And guess what? The church in Corinthians, they weren't perfect. They had some issues going on there. Going on, I'm looking at the little subtitles in front of some of the chapter places here in 1 Corinthians. Divisions in the church. Paul writes in verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by close people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So there were some divisions going on. They were arguing, well, we follow Cephas, so we're the best ones over here. We follow Apollos. Come over here, almost like a caucus. You know, it's going to be going on in Iowa next year. Hey, if you want to be Paul's, come over in this group. If you want to be with Cephas, go over there. If you want to be with Apollos, go over there. Then it says, some follow Christ. I would think that everybody should be the same group as Christ, right? Don't you? Let's look on. Divisions in the church. Again, some more divisions in there. Then there's other subtitles. Sexual immorality defiles the church. lawsuits against believers. It says to flee sexual immorality. And it talks about food offered to idols. Warning against idolatry. And then the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper would be a great thing, right? Should be something that unites the church, that brings the church together. We're in fellowship when we come up for the Lord's Supper. We're communion in fellowship with each other and with all believers in Christ. But what they were doing, they, rich, were lording it over the poor. They were getting there, and they were eating, and they were drinking, because they got to go first. They were eating the bread, and they were drinking the wine, even getting drunk. And then, when the poor came up, there was no supper left. Can you imagine doing that here? Saying, okay, we're only going to put up so many wafers and so many cups of wine. And whoever gets there first, they get what they want. And then the ones that were left straggling behind, sorry, we're out. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we did that? I'm so glad that we are in much better shape than those Corinthians were. Oh boy, I wouldn't want to be a Corinthian, I'll tell you that. We got it going so good here, right? There has never been any division in the church here. You've always all agreed 100% with each other. No one's got mad because they didn't get what they wanted. If you were like that, you'd be the number one church in the world. Because every church I've been involved in has had some issues in them. So what happens when we do have divisions? What happens when we're saying mean things to each other? What happens when some might think they're better than others? What do we do? Adler, do you know what we should do? Bible! Let's go to the Bible and let's pray and let's ask God to be with us. Now, it says, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we guiltless now? Are any of us guiltless right now? I don't see any hands going up. Actually, I'd be worried if I did. We're all guilty of some sin or another. Each and every one of us. We're guilty of sinning against God. We're guilty of sinning against our brothers and our sisters. In many different ways. We might say something under our breath. Or when the person walks away, you might start gossiping about them. Or even cuss them out. You might not be loving your neighbors. Might not be loving your enemies. That's a hard one. But we have something to fall back on when we do sin. We have Jesus Christ to fall back on, just like these Corinthians did. They had Jesus Christ to fall back on. He took our guilt upon himself, where he suffered and died. He took the guilt of the Corinthians upon himself when he suffered and died. He took the guilt of the whole world when he suffered and died for our sins. Suffered and died in such an agonizing way. He did it out of the love for us. Even though we were not guiltless, and we are not guiltless today, not a single one of us. We confessed our faith. We have the miracle of your sins being forgiven. I spoke the words, God did the forgiving. What a miracle that is, that Jesus would suffer and die for you so that your sins are forgiven. And when you say, I confess I'm a sinner, please God, forgive me. God says, I do through Jesus Christ because of what he has done for you. We're not guiltless today, but the day will come when we will be declared guiltless. The day is coming when we will be declared guiltless. And I know I repeated that. That's for emphasis. The day of our Lord. We are in the Advent season. What are we looking forward to? What's that? Christmas tree. So we're waiting forward toward Christmas, right? We're waiting for celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And we celebrate it every year. But we're also in the season of Advent right now. Do you know actually the season of Christmas? Do you know when the season of Christmas actually begins? Christmas Day. So right now we're in the season of Advent while we're waiting. Christmas Day through the day before the Epiphany is the Christmas season. So as we're waiting for Christmas to get here, we're also waiting for the day of our Lord to get here. When he will come. When he will come to declare all who believe in him guiltless, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could stand up here and tell you what day that's going to be. Wouldn't you love to know what day that was going to be? Because you could live however you wanted, and then right before that day comes, you could say, God, forgive me for all my sins. That wouldn't be very much Christian living, would it? That would be really making a mockery of Jesus Christ, I think. So we do not know the day when the day is coming. We do not know the time. We don't know the hour. It could happen at any millisecond. So we need to make sure we be prepared. We don't want to be the bridesmaids who didn't have oil in their lamp. We don't want to be the person who wore the wrong clothing to come to the feast, the marriage feast. We want to be prepared. So we keep in the word. We stay in the word. The word of the Lord remains forever. And that will sustain you. Christ will sustain you. While we wait, it didn't happen. I was waiting. I thought it might come like a thief in the night. And I know it's not night, but that could be any moment. And I was thinking, oh, it's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to come right now. He'll come when the time has been prepared for him to come. That's when he will declare you guiltless. As we wait, We keep practicing our baptism each and every day. We practice our Christian faith. That means it's not like we practice for a test or something. It's we practice it by doing it, doing our baptism, doing our Christian faith, doing what God has prepared for us to do, doing helping others, doing teaching others about Christ, doing taking care of the poor and the needy, doing taking care of those who are sick, who are in need, who are hungry, who are thirsty, doing what Christ has shown us to do to help others. Living a Christian faith. We're guiltless. Not today. But we are being made perfect each and every day. And we will be guiltless the day when Christ returns, because we will be the ones who believed in him and that he suffered and died for our sins. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, into the communion of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How beautiful is that, that we have been called into fellowship with the one who took our sins away, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.